I'm so excited to get to share a word with you today. Today we're going to look at the call story of Moses and Psalm 139. And as we are reminded that we are created in the image and likeness of God, called for a plan and a purpose, our hope is that we'll live in the truth that we are loved and called and made just as we are. But before we begin, why don't we spend a moment in prayer together? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your grace that falls afresh on us today, for your word that challenges us and inspires us and calls us to faith, and for the reminder, Lord, that you call us just as we are, to your plans and to your purpose, to proclaim your love and your truth. We ask, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. Amen. So at the beginning of this pandemic, I joined TikTok, mostly because I aspire to be cool one day. Like, I have this dream that someday I'm going to be cool. I know I'm not, like, I know that, but I thought this might be a way that I could connect with people in a different place, in a different way. And I love all things social media, so I thought this might be fun. And I've really found TikTok to be an interesting place to learn about culture and about community, to reflect on gifts and graces of different people. And I've found this kind of core group of pastors who are seeking to share God's love and grace on TikTok. And I'm trying to do that too. And for the most part, it's a really rewarding experience. You know, I'm getting these prayer requests from people who have nowhere else to turn, who have left the church or who have felt like the church has left them, who feel completely alienated and alone. And across social media, I get to share some love and some grace with them. I get to see incredible artists share their gifts, their talents, and the way that that unfolds. I get to be a little part of encouraging them on their journey. But as true with every experience, there are people who are just miserable and unhappy, and they seek to spread that with other people. I've got some TikTok haters, if I'm being honest. And I'm sure that gives me cool points if I was like thinking back on it. Maybe that makes me more cool. But it's always, never is it about the quality of my videos. Never it's about my lip syncing ability. Never is it about anything other than the truth that I am a woman who feels called to ministry. That is the thing that they love to obsess over, my gender and the fact that I feel like I am called by God. And they use that very clearly. They do not believe that women can be pastors, and so they are very clear with their articulation that it is something that I must be imagining, something I have created on my own. You know, one person said that I was Jezebel, which was quite funny. Another one said that I was a devil in sheep's clothing. But the one that really got me was somebody who said that they didn't believe that women were pastors. And so I just wrote back a very simple response. You don't have to believe in me. That doesn't change God's call on my life. And that's really easy for me to say in this space, right? I'm not sitting in the same room as the person who's speaking harm and hurt to me, that is tearing me down, tearing down the very core of part of my identity as a woman who is called by God to preach goodness and mercy and kindness to the world. It's easy because I don't know these people. They hide behind fake accounts and silly names. And if I usually look at any of their information, they have very few followers and very little clout. It's easy for me to kind of set that back. But the truth is, we have all experienced people who have cut us to our core, who've attacked our very identity, who doubt that we are worthy or that we are wanted or that we are called. And as God's children, whether we're called to ordained ministry or not, each and every one of us has a purpose. I love Psalm 139 for a lot of reasons, but one of my favorite verses is this imagery that God uses of being knit together in our mother's womb, that God knew us and created us, knit us together in our mother's womb. And you know, as a creator, somebody who likes to quilt, often I look at what I'm creating and it's not perfect. You know, it's got missteps here and it's got funny, wonky foots of fabric there, and it might be pinched here, or it might not exactly match there, but I love it, every single one of it, because I've made it, because it's mine, because every piece has a piece of me in it. Whether I realize it or not, whatever I create is a reflection of the person who's created it. And here in this psalm, we're remembering that that is true about each and every one of us, that who we are, that how we're made, that the call and the purpose that God has on our very lives is part of what has been knit together by God in us, and that delights God. This intersection of our identity and our call and our purpose and God's plans, that place where it all connects in us, delights God because God has made us for that plan and that purpose. And there are always going to be haters. I mean, that's the reality. There are always going to be people who don't understand, who aren't quite sure, who haven't experienced it for themselves. You know, when I was first called into ministry, I was serving in a small rural congregation. I was the associate pastor. There was a male senior pastor, and I was the first female pastor they ever had. There were a lot of reasons they didn't want me. Some of it was it meant they were growing too big to have two pastors. You know, some of it was that I was only 23 and I was just a baby. You know, what did I know about life to these people who were generations older than me? But a whole lot of it had to do with my gender, that there was something fundamentally wrong with me as a pastor because I'm a woman. And I really had never thought that that was possible. If I'm being really honest, I had always grown up in a church that affirmed and encouraged women's call to ministry. I had a female pastor when I was a child. My parents, from the very beginning, when I was young and expressed this call to ministry, encouraged it in me and pointed out opportunities for me and made it possible for that to be something that I lived into. I did not even believe it was possible that I would ever serve in a place that wouldn't want me because of my gender. And that's exactly where I found myself. I remember a couple months into ministry, it was Communion Sunday, and I was the preacher there. The senior pastor wasn't there. And this couple came into the sanctuary, saw that it was me, and turned around because I wasn't a real pastor. And years later, I was in ministry in that place for a good long time. Years later, I remember that those people had finally come to a place of acceptance that maybe not all women were called to ministry, but I could be called to a particular part of ministry because I had walked through hard valleys with them. I had reached out to their family in hard and heavy places. I had tried to be a beacon of light even in the midst of their brokenness and their heartache and their suffering and their hatred of me in some ways and some spaces. But I was talking to them about the pastor that would follow after me. And when they found out it was a woman, she said to me, "We don't like women pastors." And I said, "What about me?" And they said, "Oh, you're just Katie." And somehow my womanhood, the fact that I was a mother, that I was a woman, that I was a woman called to ministry, a mother called to ministry, a woman mother called to ministry, had completely escaped their mind. All of these places and spaces were just parts of who I was. You know, it's hard for us because often we silo ourselves into different places. We set our identity, our orientation, or our possibility in different places, and we live into this small caveat of who we are instead of living into the breadth and depth of who God has made us to be. It happens when we're teaching in our classrooms, having to hold our tongue instead of speaking truth and hope and proclamation. It happens in the pulpit when we're afraid to speak reformation and restoration and resurrection. It happens in our family, where we know that it might just be easier for us to not live into the truth of who we are than to hurt somebody's heart or to confuse somebody's feelings or to make something harder than it is. I think about the story of Moses and his call. You know, Moses had grown up in Pharaoh's house. He was definitely a Hebrew, and so there was some struggle with his identity in that. He was a murderer. Our Bible doesn't shirk away from that truth. He had killed a man, and whether it was righteous or not, that is who he was. And instead of dealing with ways in which all of these truths about him intersected, he ran and fled and hid for so many years of his life. In fact, he's on the middle of the side of the mountain, just tending sheep, when God comes to him in the form of a burning bush and calls him. He tells Moses to take off his shoes, for this is holy ground, and God begins to speak of how all of these snippets, all of these pieces, all of these parts of who Moses is have to align together for a plan and a purpose. That all of these different silos of who Moses truly is as a person are not meant to be lived in parallel, but are intersectional making it so that Moses is the exact person who is called to this place, to this time, for this purpose, for God's people, to bring about a revolution, to bring about a freedom, to lead God's people from slavery into the promised land. And Moses is real quick to divide up all of his identity, right? I mean, he's real quick to say, no, 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 I'm not that man. Or no, 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 this is just who I am here. Or no, 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 I am resigned to live this small part of my life in this particular place with these particular people, never experiencing the breadth, the depth, the totality of who God has made him to be. And yet God says to him, you are the one that I have called for this exact purpose. You see, because Moses has lived in Pharaoh's house, he is ready and prepared to go toe-to-toe with Pharaoh. Even though he has a stutter, it is because of his stutter that God's presence and God's power are so clearly spoken through him, that the hand of God is so clearly upon him when he speaks to God's people. It is because he has seen the plight of God's people, watching the beating, watching the battering, watching the heartache of the Hebrew people, that his heart is tender enough to speak the need of God's people to be free. It is even because he has fled to Midian that he is able and ready to help God's people as they leave, as they flee, as they find freedom. Every part of who Moses is makes him the perfect person for God's call, the perfect person to live into this truth, the perfect person to share God's love and God's grace. Friends, God has knit you together. Every part of who you are has been made by God for a purpose. Every part of who you are is resurrected and redeemed by God to speak love and hope and healing and promise. Every part of your gifts and graces is not meant to be lived in silos here and there, but meant to be proclaimed in a great and loud way. So what does that mean for us today? I'd encourage you this week to take a few minutes to think about all of the different silos of who you are. Your gifts as a parent, your gifts as a teacher, your gifts as a servant, your gifts because of your gender or your identity or your orientation. What are the gifts and graces that you uniquely have that God has knit together in you? And how might God be calling you to use those to proclaim hope and healing in God's word? God has knit you together and calls you just as you are for an incredible purpose, proclaiming hope and healing. Do not live lives of parallel, but instead speak all of these truths, living in intersection as we share God's love and grace. Can I pray for us today? Gracious God, we confess that it is easier to live our lives in silo, easier for us to speak who we are only in particular places to particular people. And we ask that today, Lord, you would help us remember that we have been knit together by you, Lord, that you have created us, that you have saved us, that you have redeemed us, that we are your beloved children, and you delight in us. We ask that in particular this week, you would help us to see all of these pieces of our identity as part of your call, and that we would be unafraid to live in the intersection, knowing that you have called us to this place, to this time, for this purpose. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.